Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hello, this is Mary Lurson. I'm the Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking Up Music Education. We're coming to you live from the NAMM Show in Anaheim, California, and this is our final day of the NAMM Show, 17, January 22nd. So, as I've said, I think in our earlier podcast, we're in a glide path to the finish line. We've had over 100,000 people here with us in Anaheim at our annual show. Almost all music industry and music professionals, music product professionals, with a few very special guests like college, university students, music educators, and some artists who have been our guests, including my guest today on this episode, Dr. Linda Wagner, who is the superintendent of the Anaheim Elementary School District. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
It is so wonderful that you could give your Sunday to come over and be with us and tell us a story of the Anaheim School District. How many students, how long you've been here?
Sure. We are 18,500 students strong. The students range in age from 4 years old to about 12. We have a K through sixth grade school district, and we're located in the miles that surround this convention center here. So there are 24 schools and a large number of students in an urban setting.
It's about 18,000 students?
18,500, yes. All right.
And the miles that surround this convention center also surround Disneyland.
That's correct.
Because we're right next door to Disneyland.
Yes.
So as I've explained it to our community, our NAMM community, is that the parents of your children are the ones that are caring for all of us when we come to town.
That's right. The service industry of Anaheim in right. A large part, yes.
So 18,500 children, how would you describe their needs economically? I mean, is there a way that we can better understand who they are?
Well, sure. They are working people. They do service the local resorts. And so a lot of them work in hotels. They work in, you know, just local industry, restaurants. And so middle to low income and certainly in need of support for music education.
Hardworking people. I know when we first, and we'll get into our connection with the district and our support for the music education expansion, but when we first considered it and thought of our role, you know, we are temporary tenants of Anaheim. We come to Anaheim with our trade show footprint for really about 1 week or 10 days of the year with the load in and the load out, and really sort of had some insight about all of that we could give back to Anaheim in a meaningful way. And then you came to us with this important idea. Talk about your desire for music education in the district, where it was to begin, where it is now, where you hope to be.
Well, sure. So I come from a music background, and there wasn't always an expectation in my life that we would take music lessons as children and then growing up with our own children. And so when I came to Anaheim, there were no elementary school music programs in our school district.
And when was that? When did you
that
first
was 4 years ago.
So you've been here 4 years.
That's right. Only been here 4 years, and there was not one instrument in the district of 18,000 kids. One to be found.
And no general music curriculum,
nothing.
No
Absolutely
classrooms,
nothing.
no holiday concerts, no...
That's right. There was nothing. And so the local symphony group came to me and said, hey, we'd really like to work with you to do some after-school orchestras. And we said, well, that's great, but we don't have teachers and we don't have instruments. And so the teachers volunteered to work with our kids in 18 of our schools, but we still had no instruments.
It was after-school program.
It was
right?
an after-school program. Yeah. That's right. And so little by little, we said, well, we're going to have to look for some help. So I went to the mayor, and he helped me connect with NAMM. And so that was when we contacted you and said, what can we do? And NAM just started helping us and taught us really how to build a program. They connected us with Nashville schools and sort of set the model that we've really followed very closely. We've basically emulated what's happening in Nashville, a three-way partnership between the city, the school district, and the creativity industry. In Nashville, it's the music industry. Here we approach the creativity industry because, of course, mm-hmm. we have Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And so we've reached out to local partners to try to help us fund the resources behind music education, and we pay teacher salaries. And NAM has really just helped us figure out the entire model, supported us financially, but also really just taught us how to fish, so to speak. It taught us how to do this.
Well, we're very proud of that, but we're mostly proud of what you've done and the district has done. I mean, to go from nothing to making a deliberate, thoughtful attempt to really build it into the curriculum. And that's really what we talked about early on. That it wasn't a NAM would be generous and could be generous and would be delighted to be helpful, but what was going to last? And so any child that was in this district would have that opportunity. So you're really on the way. How many teachers so far?
Well, so now we have 13 teachers. We started with a model that we said, well, you know, how will we pull this together and how will we make sure that it's thoughtful? And we wanted to make sure that the program was clear and that the program made sense. And so we started with zero teachers. The first year we had three. The next year we doubled it. The next year we doubled it. And in the following year, we'll have about 20. So in the coming year.
And you've hired the supervisors and middle managers that are overseeing and helping and providing coordination and
That's right.
curriculum development. And it's complex, right?
It's quite complex. So every child, the idea is that by the time we get done, every child in Anaheim, K-4 will have general music. Fifth grade, we do an exploratory wheel where they have, they get to take six different instruments, 6 weeks each. And then at the end of that session, they get to choose their instrument. And in sixth grade, they get to play the instrument they chose, but it's not, do you want to play? It's we all play.
That is pretty wonderful. I'll tell you. So what's your mom saying about this? Your mom was the music teacher, right?
My mother was a music teacher throughout her career.
She said, now, Linda, you can't go to Anaheim there and not, right?
Well, she said, number one, we need to make sure the kids have music. Number two, we can't be having them schlep instruments all over the place. And number three, that you need dedicated space, not performing outside or in the hallway. So we've made sure that our teachers have rooms. We've made sure they have instruments. We've made sure that they are fully funded. And the school district does pay all the salaries.
And that when the school district's taking on that role, the community is responding, right?
That's right. They've seen our commitment. As soon as we guarantee them, we will pay the salaries, which is about 2% of our total budget. And we learned that from Nashville, really, through NAM. We learned that if you can set aside 2% of your total budget, which in California is the equivalent of our lottery funds, from that point, if you can fund the salaries, the rest of the industry will pick up the instrument donations.
Well, we've talked too. We want to work with you to make sure that this important reinstatement is documented. So let's, in the next couple of months, get our heads together soon, actually, to look at how we can support that and make sure that you are looking at the reinvestment in the program, but then what's the impact,
right?
What are teachers telling you? What are students telling you? What are the principals telling about school atmosphere and climate, and what kind of pure raw data about school attendance and absenteeism, and all these things are important because we want other superintendents to do this.
Right, exactly.
What's standing in the way from any superintendent from wanting this in there for their children? Do they really believe the benefits of music education? Do you think it is well known?
I think they do. I think they believe in the benefits of music education. I think they don't realize how little it takes financially. 2% of your budget is really very doable. And I think people don't realize, A, that it's not that much, and B, that the resources will follow. If you build a program, people will fund it. People will come forward with drums and trumpets and trombones. You just have to show them that you're committed. And there are many organizations out there who dedicate themselves to making sure kids have instruments.
At which you have taken advantage of, and you've been awarded instruments from the VH1 Save the Music Foundation and Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation, and some NAM members, manufacturing companies sort of in the community,
exactly,
have actually come forward to support it.
That's so, right.
Yeah, success begets success, right?
Yes.
Especially when kids are involved.
Well, that's right.
So superintendents, you would generalize that superintendents in general probably get it.
Yes.
Why they should have music education in their school when they go either they are hired by a district where it's maybe conflated, right? It's gone down or it's absent. But so it's possibly just the absence of knowing what to do.
I think so. Yeah. And I also think,
so why don't we work on that, Linda? I think we have another job we could do here.
That's right. Right? Well, I think we have to have people who believe that it's possible. We had two mothers that came forward and said, hey, we want to run a mariachi program. And I said, great, let's do it. And so I met with them. We have lunch fairly often and they update me on what they've done, but they have actually single-handedly pulled together two schools worth of mariachi that they just believed they could do it. And so
two mothers
are running, ladies and gentlemen, program.
Two mothers.
Yes.
Not 200.
No.
Two mothers.
Just two mothers.
And a willing superintendent.
Yes. And they have over 100 children in each of two programs with full sets of instruments that they've managed to get the resources for or had donated.
So as we keep backing into this sort of model of the superintendent, if a superintendent is approached by enthusiastic parents that are actually willing to do something, a superintendent might say yes?
Absolutely. This superintendent would, and many would, I think. I think really we just need the enthusiasm, people who come and show us the way. We've had drum manufacturers that came to us and just said, hey, we think you can help. We can help you with kids with, you know, some socio-emotional concerns or issues. Why don't we teach your counselors how to run drum circles? And we said, great. And so we just had all of our counselors participate in that. And now, you know, in addition to music teachers, we have counselors running drum circles, which is fantastic.
Just for the community interaction,
building
the
community.
Communications.
That's right.
And yeah, I think that's, so we have those of us who are in the field of advocacy for music and arts education or counseling and supporting others to be stronger advocates. There is a little mythology about the superintendent's office.
Yes.
There's this fear. Maybe we go back to our own childhoods.
Perhaps.
Right? Right? And we regress to feel of like, oh, I'm going to have to go to the principal's office to ask for something. Or, so how can we help our advocates that listen to our podcast or anyone to understand how to approach a superintendent's office? When you have a child in the school district and you have a concern?
Well, I think, you know, you can come with the concern. Another idea is come with an idea.
And when a solution.
When people come to me with ideas, even if they don't have the whole solution. For example, the symphony came to me and said, we have teachers, you don't have instruments. And we said, well, let's teach notation for a while then until we figure out this instrument thing.
Let's
and
do
so
some
we did.
Basic musical skills. Right.
Right. So yeah. I think, you know, if you come with an idea, sometimes the superintendent can connect you with the resources to follow.
So like in life in general, if someone comes to you with, wouldn't it be wonderful if?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So getting into something wonderful for our kids is probably said, I really have a complaint to you about.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Right.
And pulling together like-minded people, you know, so maybe a parent has an idea and they're thinking, well, gosh, I want to do a dance. And maybe they go to their child's local dance class and they say, hey, would you partner with me with the school district? And very often that person will say yes.
So I think that you're telling us that you are, as a leader of a school, you're always looking for solutions. So if someone brings you something to ponder that could be really good for the children, it's pretty much an open door.
Absolutely. We don't say no here. Really, it's very rare. We probably would say no to big piano donations because we just can't put pianos, right?
Right.
But after that, we just don't say no. I mean, if somebody has a music idea they want to try, dance, drama, any of that, we'll give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. And this also allowed you to staff up a little bit more too. You have a communications director, right?
That's right.
These are things that are really helping you to communicate to the parents and the community in general what's happening, right?
Right. I mean, as we've gained success in our arts program, really funding has come in. And so we are able to fund all kinds of things that sort of correspond to the music program, but are not directly linked to it.
So sometimes when programs are threatened, right? When the budget cycle comes through and the budget's being prepared and, you know, we know that districts live in a larger continuum of the federal funds and state funds and everything, you know, many times that the superintendent has to be the ultimate problem solver of the budget. And sometimes music and arts education advocates get very defensive in this period when budgets are passed favorably, it can be very happy times, right?
Yeah.
But when budgets have to be modulated or even regressed in some ways just to keep things going, what is also the best way for parent advocates to continue to work with a superintendent? A superintendent doesn't want to make these decisions.
Right. Right? No.
They're hard decisions to make.
They're very hard decisions to make. We have agreed that it's just a principle of ours that we will value music education. And like NAM, we will defend it. And, you know, NAM makes it their mantra that they will defend arts education for children, and we feel the same way. And so it's simply just a non-negotiable that music education continues and that we may make cuts as far from the classroom as possible. So when the time comes to tighten our belts, we look to see what will not affect children.
So this policy has been adapted on the board level?
Yes. When we went to Nashville and met with the Nashville team, our board members were there, and our board members committed that they would spend 2% of their budget, that they would double the music program every year until every child had a music education or a music teacher in their week, and that they would stand behind music education.
But, you know, that is, I don't think I was aware that it was that formally codified. I know that, but the fact that it has been adopted as a district policy, and in the good times, this is when advocates need to rally around that and keep kind of re-emphasizing that, because we all know that we will go through cycles.
Yes.
We'll go through cycles of pressures and whatnot. And when it can be, when all are together defending and supporting, and they understand what the true costs are, you can sometimes slide through the tougher years.
That's right. And we codified it in the form of a resolution and passed it so that we could refer back to it and say, now remember the day. We know things are tight right now, but remember when we all promised that a child who started music in kindergarten would be playing an instrument in sixth grade. Remember that. We haven't had to refer back to it because our board just believes in it.
Right. And board members come and go. We know that too. So when
that's
part of their orientation is to come and they're getting voted in on with that promise.
Yes.
Right. Some of them are even running maybe on that promise.
Yes.
Right. To uphold it. But this is also a quick to do that came into my mind. If you're in a school district where things are going pretty well and this isn't been adopted as a resolution, this is the time to adopt it.
Oh, yes.
Make sure,
you
know, if everybody's high on it, up on it, everything's good, then let's say we're putting it on as a policy of the district that we will together work and defend music and arts education opportunity for all our children. Then, again, when we go through those times when things get forced into pressure, we remember what we stood for.
That's right. And really, it is a full-time job to keep it going. The superintendent has to continually advocate for the arts. It's not something you can just put on the back burner. And I think if I did, we would be less likely to make it a high priority. It really has to be a constant.
And if the principal or principal and superintendent maybe are doing that every day, they at least need people around them to remind them.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Be it a local advocacy group or people that they want to work with as part. So we've been involved with Anaheim for our day of service and work with the children who are now getting full-time music teaching. And I can't wait to come back every year because soon we'll have entire schools.
That's right. It's exciting to see their progress,
right?
Isn't it?
Soon yes. We'll have entire schools.
We sure will.
So what are your hopes for all of that? What do you see in three more years when the kindergarten kids who were here at the start will have had 6 years.
Well, really, right? I hope to see them happy, well-adjusted, feeling that they came to school. Maybe, you know, the thing that drives them to school is that music opportunity, that they're happy to be there and they're confident. And if they're great musicians, that's terrific. If they're not great musicians, we're just happy that they're happy and that they're well-adjusted and had that opportunity to give that music a chance.
And plus, every school will have that music room component, which
that's
is,
right.
There's this buzz in the air, right?
Yes.
They're humming some of the same tunes and drumming and running into practice. And there's chaos of the instruments on the floor in the hallway. And the spring concert and the holiday concert and the parents coming in.
The community groups coming in and out. I mean, that's the other piece is that, you know, we will see the local symphony people coming and going. We see, you know, this is happening now, you know, the local theater is coming and going as we pass them in the hallway. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Just to kind of wrap up, Linda, how did you come to be a superintendent?
Oh, gosh. I went through the typical teacher. You know, I was a teacher, vice principal, principal. But when I became a superintendent, I realized that was my opportunity to really make sure music was everywhere I went, that the seeds for music were planted. And so that's been the motivator.
And leadership in education is where it gets done, right?
That's right.
When you're leading,
yes,
you get to lead.
But the community is so important in helping us make it happen, really. Without them, it would not be possible.
So, and are you still swimming 100 miles a day? And,
yes.
And marathon running?
Yes.
And
yeah. Yes.
This is one of these women, ladies and gentlemen. We just have to take it calmly. This is one of these people that can really do all these things.
Try to keep in balance.
Yeah, that's wonderful. We're so grateful for our opportunity to partner with you. It wouldn't have happened without you, Linda.
Thank you. It wouldn't happen to happen with you either, Mary.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
And NAM's been tremendous.
And the fact that we can stand before our members in this town when we come together and say we are helping to reinstate music education in the city of Anaheim, it means that we are walking our talk as a vision.
Absolutely.
So it means so much to us. And we will be back next year.
Well,
and
terrific.
We will see where those kids are.
We'll be bigger and stronger.
With their music education program. So Thank you so much.
Thank you, May.
For your great participation. And thank you all for listening to us and being with us on this episode for Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAM Foundation.
The NAM Foundation would like to thank Vocal Booth for their support in providing a recording booth for these podcasts recorded live at NAM 2017. Whether you're recording, rehearsing, tracking, mixing, or overdubbing, Vocal Booth has a solution that's right for you. Learn more at vocalbooth.com. Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Nam. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.